In short, I wanted to do some marketing activities, and I was complaining that I'm spending a ton of my time editing. And Benji said, we need to get that off your plate.
It just kind of led to this conversation. Could we potentially either outsource editing or hire a full-time editor who is not started as a writer on our team?
The idea from Benji that we are here to discuss is, what if we used an editing service, which is basically like, let's say, an agency that has a bunch of editors on staff, or a dedicated editor? We like create a job posting, you know, we're hiring an editor to do this marketing content or whatever. Does that seem reasonable? Do you think it'll work? What are your thoughts on that?
Instinctually, I think it's a terrible idea.
All like, right! Because I agree!
This is exactly what you're hoping for.
David, we brought you back on to discuss a totally different topic. So a few episodes ago, you were here to talk about updating. This has to do with writers, writing, and most importantly, editing. Okay? So I want you to answer these questions like you're on trial. Have we told you anything about what we're going to talk about today?
I know a little bit about getting things off of David's plate.
Oh, man. I was really hoping you would say no. I thought that we hadn't told you anything.
No, that's all I know.
So we recently recorded our February update. And as part of that conversation, I just talked about challenges, specifically that, well, in short, I wanted to do some marketing activities and I was complaining that I'm spending a ton of my time editing. And Benji said, we need to get that off your plate. And specifically, we were, what, cold outreached by a salesperson from an editing service. Probably, I guess, it's not necessary to name them or whatever. So, by an editing service. And Benji was like, this is actually a good cold email. Normally, you and I make fun of cold emails on Twitter.
Yeah, no, it was like spot on for what our pain points were. And it just kind of led to this conversation. Could we potentially either outsource editing or hire a full-time editor who is not a writer on our team or who has not started as a writer on our team?
Yeah. So this editing service, in short, it was like, you know, we recruit the best editors, blah, blah, blah. And like, they can step in and edit your documents and all. And well, maybe actually what would be more fun is before I say my take on it and what I told Benji, just with that alone, I'm curious to get your thoughts of either using a service or Benji's alternative proposal in that conversation was like, then, you know, we can also just like have a job posting or something, but why don't we hire a dedicated editor to get you and beyond me, actually, anyone else on the team, even like strategist burden, to just help quote unquote solve the editing problem. Go for it, David. What is your take on this?
I just want to clarify something though, like, because we had a conversation, all three of us, months ago about you need to get back into this editing and recruiting and onboarding. So now is it like, ooh, I need to get out?
Yeah, that's a very astute comment. That came up yesterday as well. I don't know if we were actually recording at that point, so it's important to put this on this episode. I said that to Benji. I said, you know, I said exactly what you said. I said, we talked about this. And I feel like in the common kind of like business entrepreneur advice of like, you know, as a business owner or whatever, delegate the things that other people can do and then focus your time on the like highest value uses of your time. I said, I think we concluded that this is an extremely high value use of my time, because anyone who I can train into being a really good writer or a strategist becomes invaluable to the company.
And we've seen some like significant wins with this already, right? Like I think two or three names come to mind that when you started doing this.
Yes. I think I would do the kind of, you know, humble David Close approach of like, I think those people just came in good, but so be it. But
no, that's not fair. There's been some people that we were
well. There's been pushback. There's been natural tension of like the strategist being like, I don't know if they're good, and you're like, well, let me step in and take a look, and then like you'd be able to massage that tension, which is hard for an editor to do because, in case, I'm not sure if we need to clarify, like a strategist will run the account. So you can't just have like some, I'm kind of jumping the topics, you can't just have some equally sided editor push back with the strategist. The strategist runs the account. You need somebody who is, in a sense, you know, over the strategist in a kind of in a managerial sense, which is where you come in and can be like, well, let me look at this as a third party, but also a third party with some leverage in terms of like influence. Then I can be like, yeah, so that's kind of where we've seen the wins, at least I thought I have.
Right. So just to kind of fill in everyone so they can follow along who's listening, David in the past was running, he still is managing our recruiting and filtering of writers. So in fact, a decent number of other content marketers, writers listen to this show, from at least from what we can tell from our feedback and comments. So if you're going to apply or have applied to be a writer for Grow and Convert, David literally will be the person to manually check.
I'm working on getting an email to you as soon as possible.
I was going to say, email David when you're pissed. I'm
getting back to you as quickly as I can.
David's joking about the emails we get being like, David, any response? David, did you get my thing?
But to be fair, they usually email after it's been like a day. They're like, I applied yesterday. Can I get a response?
But what David's referring to is initially, like last year or earlier, I forget when, he was then also managing the level two coaching of the writers after they passed his test project, which is like the initial filter, they get put on their first piece or their second piece. And David was continuing to coach them, which is a necessary part of the step. Just because they passed this paid, by the way, it's a paid test assignment, right? A partial blog post paid that we don't use. And after they pass that, it doesn't mean they're all of a sudden like a perfect writer for us. They're still ongoing coaching. And I'm going to get to answering your question of like, what is my problem? Why am I not doing that? And so hold this thought in mind, ongoing coaching, okay? David used to do that. And then what he's saying is he ran into this issue of like, you know, feeling what, I'm going to put words in your mouth, uncomfortable about pushing back. So that new writer that he has onboarded is working with some other strategist at our company on their account, right? And then David is like this kind of side coach editor. The normal relationship is the writer writes and then that strategist edits. But because it's a new writer, David's like kind of this side coach. And then he said he's put in this awkward situation where the writer submits something, the strategist complains about blah, 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 and wants to change it. It's like a normal editing process. But David sometimes agrees with, say, the writer's phrasing or whatever instead of the strategist, and he's like, well, this is awkward because it's their account, I'm their peer, like what do I say? And so he was like, this is happening too many times, David, why don't you come in and do this part again, because you have a different, for lack of a better term, power relationship with other people, and so you have, maybe you'll feel more comfortable pushing back on the strategist and saying, actually, maybe we agree with XYZ. So that lays the seeds to it. To answer your question,
wait, I am before you 100%. Get to answering the question, how do you deal with that then? So if there's a disagreement between you and the strategist, is what you say just overriding the strategist then?
That's a good question. As I was just saying that like 10 seconds ago, I censored myself just because I didn't want to get too off track. I was going to say, I don't find myself in that situation a lot, but maybe I need to pay more attention. It could be that I feel so uninhibited and free to disagree with the strategist that I don't notice it as much as David. But my anecdotal response is like, normally what the strategist says is right. But yeah, I guess the answer to your question, Benji, is yes. Like, if I disagree with the strategist, I have zero qualms about just saying it. I'll be like, actually, like, this seemed like pretty good phrasing. Like, what? But at the same time, like, most of our strategists are really good, and what they say makes a lot of sense.
And one other just fine. There's disagreeing with the strategist, but also I was uncomfortable with. We can say that for sure. But, like, it's also the other point of knowing when a writer isn't a good fit. And that would be disagreement, right? Because I would be like, this writer is skilled. Like, it's worth working with them. And the strategist may be like, well, I don't want to work with them to get them up to the speed. This is too much work on my time. This is taking too much time. And so it's both of those things. It's like, not just like, oh, the writer is right and the strategist is wrong, but also being able to be like, does this writer have value for the agency?
That second one, that one I have experienced, and that what I'm doing is I just step in and take care of the writing. I can tell, I have a sense of like, this is going to be a huge burden for the strategist to edit. And so I just am the first editing pass. So then they see a piece that went through the new writer and me. And then the editing burden is a lot less. And then I make that call where I'm like, they're not getting it. And I just kind of take that away from the strategist's plate. So we are getting a bit off track. What we want to get to is, this was all a foray of like, Davish, why are you complaining? So to answer your question, like I'm finding myself still spending a decent amount of time editing folks on the team that have been on the team for a long time that aren't new writers. So that's kind of an aside. This was all just a lead up to this conversation. Entertain for a second the idea of having some kind of dedicated editing resource in our operations, which, just for everyone listening, is not normal. We don't have that. So our normal operation, so that everyone can follow along, is going to be writer writes and the content strategist. Strategist is what most agencies would call an account manager. They're in charge of basically the entire account. Every single one of our strategists is a writer at heart. They started off as a writer. They can still write. They could write all the pieces themselves for the account at any time if needed. But many choose to have writers that they edit, which allows them to have more freedom, time, basically, to take on more accounts. Okay, that's the lay of the land. I am sometimes, when even a strategist has new accounts or a challenging account, I edit that because the strategist, if they're writing the piece themselves, they have no other person looking at it before it goes to the client. And we had a rule at Grow and Convert a long time ago, 2 pairs of eyes need to look at every piece before it goes to the client. Normally, like you did that for the call we had right before this, for the client we had right before this, you sent the first piece over, right? Normally, that's a pretty painless process where I look at like one piece, you know, 2 pieces of a new account. Then the strategist kind of gets their bearings. The client is happy. And then I step away. For the vast majority of accounts run by established strategists, I don't see a single word of what's published every month. I don't look at it. I don't know. I just like, I'm not involved. So in that respect, the operation's working well. But there are a few challenging accounts where I've been heavily involved. And that's taking a bunch of time. All of this is precursor. The idea from Benji that we are here to discuss is, what if we used an editing service like this service, or which is basically like, let's say, an agency that has a bunch of editors on staff, or a dedicated editor. We like create a job posting, you know, we're hiring an editor to do this marketing content or whatever. Does that seem reasonable? Do you think it'll work? What are your thoughts on that?
Instinctually, I think it's a terrible idea.
All like, right.
This is exactly what you're hoping for.
Without a doubt. Like I would, I mean, I could be convinced otherwise, but just like first of all, like not to get too in the woods, but what do we mean by editor? What are we editing? Normally when an outside editor edits something, so I used to work at an internal content marketing team, right, for an agency. And we had like this step kind of where it's like the writer writes, then it goes to the SEO editor who would like edit it for SEO best practices, right? And then it would go to the style and like company guidelines editor who would just basically, they weren't looking at SEO, they were looking at, is it all an active voice, not passive voice? Are they not using unnecessary adjectives or whatever it may be? Are they following all the product specific things and then that we want to get across? And then it would go published, right? So it had this flow. The thing is, that was like, that's an internal team with one company.
Yeah. And so, well, and it's all, those are also like minimal edits. Those are like proofreading things.
Yeah. So what editor you, I mean, you need an editor who understands the client.
Yes.
Correct.
Structural editing. So they need to be able to rip the piece apart and say, this argument doesn't make sense for this.
That's another strategist.
Is it? I don't know. Well, that's my question back.
And also we don't want, as a strategist, I don't want to like lose that skill set of like, I should be able to edit my piece and be like, no, this structure doesn't make any sense because this is not my client's industry. Like, this is not my client audience. Like, I mean, that to me is like a bigger problem. because if you need to bring somebody in, I mean, you can do buddy strategy, but that's not it. That's not an editor. That's making up for a strategist that is lacking.
Oof.
I'm a strategist. I should clarify. But God.
That's a fair point. I guess here's the problem that I see as the agency grows. So I agree with you guys. There's two sides to this problem. There's Davis needing to edit new strategists to help build their skill set up so that they can run accounts on their own. That's like one
writers, point. writers. Sorry, by writers. The time we're Sorry. Ready to, yeah,
writers. And then the other challenge is then being able to be like a backfiller, like help on existing accounts where there's difficulties. The two separate problems, correct? So I would say new writers, I still think there's value in Davis doing that, as we said, because there's training aspects that I think you're really good at that we've proven can bring someone from a writer who we're on the fence at a fence on to someone that's a really good writer who becomes a core part of the team.
But pause, even there, if the company or the operations are to be truly scalable and not dependent on me or whatever, having someone else who is a writer coach is important. But continue. Yeah,
but then there's the other aspect of just existing accounts needing a second pair of eyes, or just difficult accounts that need someone to go back and forth with. So I agree with you, David, that the person would have to know the account. But I'm thinking, what if we were to hire an editor? So even just disregard the agency thing, because I know that sounds kind of far-fetched for us. But if we were to have a job rec of someone who can do more structural editing, who is involved on the account from the very beginning. So they go to the kickoff, or they listen to the initial calls, they get an understanding of the subject matter, and then they can serve as an editor on some of those pieces. So they can either help edit pieces, or they can be there for questions, or they can do much more substantial editing so that Davis isn't the bottleneck. Because I just don't think this is possible long term for us to, let's say, double the amount of accounts and Davis one train every new writer that comes in. And also on top of that, then step in challenging situations where there needs to be a second pair of eyes. Like, it's just not scalable. It doesn't work.
No, I mean, yeah, when you word it, like, you definitely, I think you, yeah, because I just wouldn't call that an editor.
What would you call it then?
It's almost an account manager, and they're managing the strategist and the writer. It's like, it's almost like, I mean, but everyone calls it an editor because editor is just,
They wouldn't get involved in the other aspects of the account. So I don't anticipate them doing reporting calls or kind of stuff. They're just viewing the articles from a lens of
when you describe their actions. I think it's a good thing. I think you probably could group, like, we could probably group, like, okay, we can probably have a max of like this person we'll call editor for now, but it's going to be a different thing. Can handle like maybe two or three accounts, right? You group them together, like, because they're not doing the reporting, they're not doing the interviews, they're just kind of double checking the value props and do we understand the client's audience really well? Does it come across, that sort of thing? And I think it's possible. And I think maybe a different topic, but it would start with getting you guys, I would say, even less involved in the beginning and getting other people, the content strategists, and this other person more involved in the kickoff calls in the very beginning, and like, because they are the person who has to.
That's a whole other can of worms. Yeah.
Another can of worms, but like, if it's like, get Davis and you guys out of this area you're in, it's like, well, how do we get in the area we're in? Well, it's because you did the kickoff call. You were the.
No. I mean,
but if you think you can just give someone a client interview recorded on Zoom and tell them to get the client, I will just say, like, well, we're already struggling finding a writer. So why do you think we can find someone better than a writer?
Exactly. So this is my argument exactly, Da Vinci. I think the two parts that stand out from what David is saying that hit emotionally to me, number one, is he said, if I am editing someone who's been with Grow and Convert for a long time, who I'm not coaching a new writer and I'm still editing them and I need to, that's a problem. And I think after our conversation yesterday at night, when I thought about it and I texted or Slacked you, Benji, I said almost that exact same thing, that I realized that for the vast majority of accounts and situations and account person pairings at Grow and Convert, this is just not a problem. For example, the account that we were just on a call about, David's new account before this, I'm not worried about the next piece. I'm not even sure I want him to send it to me because like he knows more about what to write in there than I do. Right? And so, or like a lot of the other accounts that I mentioned or people that, you know, I'm not going to like name here, but you guys know that I don't even touch their accounts, you know? And I think one of the ones that are having a problem right now, we're already have a game plan of like switching things up. And the second thing that David said that really along the same lines resonated was he said, that's not an editor, that's an account manager, because they're basically overseeing and managing the quality of the writer editor. That's how I feel. That in like one of the more pain accounts that I'm dealing with right now is I'm editing two people, the writer and the strategist. And both times I'm like, oh my God, like, why is this so difficult?
Because when I think about editors, like when I, in this like content marketing space, an editor is someone who does really good at getting the piece to say what it's trying to say, or following like almost objective rules. Like here's what, you know, the style guidelines, right? Those one of those two things. Like a really good editor can get a piece to say what it's trying to say. And we want more of that and less of like the style guidelines typeface, you know, kind of thing. So no, I mean, I get like the solution obviously can't be, nope, Davis, you're just going to be stuck here. Like that's just, we've got to get two of you. Like that can't.
No. I think what I'm getting at through this conversation and some conversations that happened last night and thinking myself about this over the past 24 hours is I'm realizing that I may have universalized or kind of made big and made more fundamental of a problem out of something that was actually a specific client personnel fit or something like that, or a couple of them. You know what I mean? Where like the solution is, if I am, we all have in mind a certain new writer that we have recently said like seems to be really good, right? If I'm thinking about editing that person's piece, I don't stress about it because I know it's going to come in really good. And then the edit, someone, when it comes in good, it doesn't mean you do no editing or I do no coaching. I do some, but it's almost like joyful because you already know this person has so much potential. You're just like kind of helping them along and you know pretty soon like they're just going to be killing it, you know? It's the ones where it's just like you keep going and keep going and it's just not working that becomes really stressful. So I think a solution doesn't, because fundamentally the other thing you said that I've been saying to Benji whenever this topic has come up is like, it is so hard for us to find and train a good writer that if we were able to do that for an editor, it's like, if we can do that, then we wouldn't have a problem because we would just find a bunch of them and they could just write the pieces and then they're writing the pieces well enough and then we don't have a problem in the first place.
Yeah. And also just from the point of view of, I don't know, I think like, if I understand you correctly, like it's, what we do works well most of the time. The current nuclear family of Grow and Convert, a content strategist writer, that works well most of the time.
The majority of our strategists, I am not editing. Otherwise, I would literally collapse.
I think that's good that it works most of the time. And it's not so, I think, because a lot is on the strategist, because some of the decisions we make are gut decisions. Strategy decisions, like here's what I think is the best thing to do. It's not so black and white sometimes, and so that can get, I would get a lot messier too and a lot harder to navigate. I think on the client, my new client, I said immediately I want to be the writer on this because I don't want to have to have, I'm going to have a lot of conversations with the client. I don't want to have them again with a writer, and I don't want to create confusion. I want to be very streamlined, the feedback, right? So I'm always hesitant to adding more voices to the editing pile is basically what I'm saying, because it gets more confusing as people try and grapple with the right way of saying something. And that's why I would push back against, if the content strategist and writer is working most of the time, then what are we doing?
Yeah, but there's still operational issues. Like as we grow, it's still not going to be sustainable for you to manage every or train every new writer? Because, okay, say there's five new writers that are good. That's a ton of pieces every month. And then I feel like you being able to have someone else that you trust to help train or give feedback, I think is going to be important. And I think in terms of hiring this person, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe this person does have to be a writer first and trained on that side before they can do editing. But there's certain people on the team who can kind of pinch hit on any new account. Like, it might not be their account, but like when people are out or they're on leave for a period of time, there's certain writers and strategists that can step in and take over and do a great job. And so what if we just found it, instead of just hiring for the writer, the actual role was more of this editing role. They still go through the writer training, but their focus is different. Like, they know their job role is going to be more on the editing side. And if they truly need to come in and rewrite a piece, they're able to do that. They're just not going to be, their full-time thing isn't going to be writing new articles for every account. It's more going to be helping on the editing side.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that, you know, I said my emotional reaction to David, my emotional reaction to this one is like, man, if we had a dedicated person who was really into editing and writer coaching and would just like take that over, God, like, that sounds so amazing. It's kind of like David taking over the recruiting part.
Yeah, again, we didn't think that was so. I mean, there's been so many parts in the business that at the time when you're thinking about how to solve the problem, you just say, oh, it's not possible. Like, even when we were first trying to hire writers, I mean, there was so much trial and error just to get to the process that we have now. Now we have a good process. And before, we're like, yeah, you even said, I don't know that anyone could do this other than me, Davish. So on
didn't we have we don't name names in this podcast of the thing, the person who's no longer with us, they're still alive, but the person who's no longer working at Growing Convert,
she's no longer with us. She
did this kind of,
she was doing more strategist coaching, but you're right. No, you're right. She, for many accounts, she did do editing. And I actually brought up her name with Benji the other day, and I was like, yeah, I do miss having her like help. You're right. So that's what I'm saying. So Benji proposed option A, hire new person who, yes, goes through our normal writer filtering, writer training process and has to pass all of those hoops, just like they would pass through you. But they came in a job title that prepared them that ultimately what this is all for is for them to be editor, not to be a writer slash strategist. Option A. Option B is just keep our normal hiring and at some point just ask good writers or strategists, hey, like, do you want to be an editor? And they will self-select. That's what we did with you in recruiting. You weren't hired to be a recruiter. You were hired as a writer slash strategist. And then eventually it was like, hey, I don't know how it happened, actually. It was a long time ago. But like something came up where you were like, I would help with this? Or did I ask for help? Or how did that happen? And somehow you sort of were like, yeah, I'm into like training and finding new writers. I want to do this. So option B is like hire internally, basically.
That's interesting. And those people, obviously, like they do exist. Like people can read a piece and just kind of be like, something's missing from this piece, or this doesn't make a lot of sense, or I don't, who are we writing towards? Who's, you know, basic questions that we ask ourselves, or we're supposed to ask ourselves as writers here, like, who's the audience? Who's this for? Is this how they would word it? Like, that is a,
yeah, I've seen people completely thing. Rip, like, rip a piece that team. Know nothing about this the subject yeah. matter. So, like, I know it exists.
Yeah, and I'm sure most of our strategists can. We can kind of read a piece and I'm like, this feels like an empty blog post. Like, something feels wrong in the format or the logical argument.
For the record, I'm doubtful that this is true, but continue.
Well, no, it's true.
It's true. I mean, there's so many publications that have people like this. How would a media publication produce this stuff? Like, you think the editor-in-chief or whoever's editing all the writers know the subject matter on all the different topics that they're going after? Like, they have to be able to rip pieces to shreds.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, my instinct is just like, David said something like, a good editor makes the piece say what it's trying to say. I think our editing is one step more than that, which is that it needs, I also am a judge of, what should it try to say?
What should it try to say? Yeah.
Because sometimes my editing is like, hold up, is that even true? And then there's this debate with whoever I'm editing with, where like, oh, the client said this on this interview. And I'm like, no, but they were meant it on a, they meant it in a different context, or that's not really that important. Like, I feel like the majority of my editing is saying, should it say this? That's my doubt of this whole process. For example, we're talking about option A, option B is hiring an individual, whether outside option A or internally option B. Meanwhile, because of this discussion yesterday, I was like, fine. So I got back to this sales rep of this agency of editors or whatever. And I said, okay, here's an example of a piece I just edited. I gave him like a two paragraph example and said, see, like, this is, you know, how would you even know to edit this? Or this is an example. And he was like, okay, yeah. Like, and he was like, you know, this is a substantive editing, right? Like, this is going to require knowledge. And he had this email back where he was like, okay, we're going to have to like, yeah, we're going to have to get onboarded. I want to see the full piece and the brief and the, I want to see this thing. And what the, you know, we're going to need a team to work on it. And I was just like, I looked at that email this morning and I was like, I'm not dealing with this. Like, I'm just like this, like, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, I know. Well, also when it says the information needs to come from a brief, like that's the difference in our process. We don't have a brief that just gives you all the information. A brief can't
convey all that.
Yeah, exactly. You have to know about the account. You would have to, that's why I said you'd have to be on the kickoff calls, or you'd have to listen to all the interviews that we've done to just get a basis of understanding of the account to be able to go in and make those kind of edits.
There's a reason client after client is like, wow, like Grow and Convert writes the highest quality. Like, I've had all these other people and I had to edit the crap out of them, and you guys finally can like write at this level, because we don't do the normal thing. And because this is hard, because it's really hard for us to hire, because we only hire people that can handle this and we have a unique process. I am very sensitive and I understand Benji's frustration that all I'm doing is like shooting down these potential solutions and they should be tested. I agree with that part. I'm just like, my gut says this is going to be tough.
I mean, I think if we rearrange it, like, yeah, it is tough. But I think as long as now I'm on the page, like, okay, well, we're not really hiring. I mean, we're hiring an editor, but in a very different way than I would imagine when you say like hire an editor. And if somebody basically just like,
what if we came up with a new test project? So
it's going to be someone, basically, David, it's just going to be like you, us finding a skilled writer who we think, and I already have like somebody in mind who's already started to work with us, like a skilled writer, and just the path changes just slightly, where instead of just working on one, like right now we tend to have where we like get a writer on an account, we like to have them stay on the account because it makes their life easier and it makes the account easier and then that kind of thing. But instead of doing that, we have this person work with you. They work on an account for like 2 or 3 months, and they go to a different account for 2 or 3 months, and they go to a different account for 2 or 3 months, and they kind of work with you to see like how you provide feedback across multiple accounts in multiple industries. And so it just changes the onboarding a bit, and they kind of learn how to deal with multiple strategists and multiple like audiences, like, oh, this is a more top of funnel piece, or this is a more highly nuanced, this is a more whatever. And then that person, you will just slowly, ideally, you'll still get called in every now and then for like these emergency cases, but you would slowly back away. I think that would be it. Cause now we kind of do right where it's like, we get the writer up to speed and then we back away. Like, okay, good. You're good on this account. And then we come back in. If the strategist is like 5 months later, nope, never mind. The writer is starting to suck again. We go back in. But now it's going to be like, you're doing good on this account. Cool. We're going to take you off. We're going to go to a different account and we're going to work here for a bit. And that's maybe how you train them. Because it's really about seeing, like, you have a very good editorial eye, and you made a good point about what the piece should say, because that's the marketing aspect, which I think would be the most difficult, as you kind of called out to like train. But when you start to see, I know from experience, I went through and grew for a while, the more accounts I work on, the more like you just get an experience with like different marketing aspects of writing a piece, and you can kind of just get better at it.
Yeah, that's why my instinct keeps going to every promising writer we find during one of the conversations. We say, by the way, we have a need for an editor. Is that something you would eventually want to do? And to kind of explain or kind of sell that role, you would basically, you know, be training other writers or whatever. And if someone says, oh yeah, I would love the idea of training or coaching other writers, we sort of keep that in mind as something that we can.
Yeah. I guess I come from a different background. Why are we even given like, hey, you did great on this account, and we're going to give you another account now. Like, why are we even having this like weird, like, hey, how do you feel about being an editor, man? Like, no, you have a really good skill set. You are really good at this. We pay you to do this. Let's go do it over here. And then you just kind of keep training that writer that way. And then, because they're not I thought we were talking about having people like as an editor. When you're an editor, you're not training a new writer. You are just making sure the piece is as strong as it could be. So two different jobs.
I think there's some training aspect because you're giving people feedback to help them improve their own writing. And so I feel like if you're a good editor, you could be a really good writer trainer too. So that there, eventually, Davis needs to get out of the role of, after a new writer comes in, he's the one training every single person. So what if someone else could take over that?
Do you train, or is it right now, do you train every single one, or do you train, because I just onboarded four, or is it when we flag you? Like, has other strategists reached out to you than the ones I know about?
You're right. I don't train every single one. You're right. Okay. You're right.
So when we, when there's a problem, when we flag you, you jump in to be like, is this salvageable, or do I agree with the strategist, this writer shouldn't be with Grow and Convert anymore?
Yeah, you're right. But Benji, I agree with Benji, is like, if we're going to find someone like this, I would want them, because they are good at editing, I would want them to be able to take over that of like, yeah, like being able to, what did you say? Like salvage, or like if there's an issue.
Yeah, to be able to spot potential and be like, no, you know what? Or be able to like, I know sometimes when we had a writer in the past who wasn't doing too well, I would get on calls with them. And I still do that if it's my account, right? Like if a writer is struggling, like get on a call with them. And sometimes we're just like, as a writer, I mean, I've been writing for a long time. I'm like, oh, I know what you're doing. I know why you're having a headache. You're doing this one simple mistake. Stop doing this. And so basically finding a person who has, just by working with you and working across multiple accounts, has like this utility belt of experience. Like, oh, I know what you're doing. And we can make you a skilled Grow and Convert writer if you just stop doing this one thing. Right. And I like, there's examples, but they can get kind of weird and abstract if you're not looking at a piece.
Yeah. Okay. Let me summarize. It sounds like we're saying, yes, it would be useful to have someone dedicated that's kind of like this editor slash so intensive of an editor, they can almost act like a writer coach. Number one. Number two, at least us two, David and I, and maybe Menji, but maybe not, are a little skeptical that like, say like an agency could do this.
Yeah, I think I'm more convinced on.
Yeah, I wouldn't do an agency.
The agency can't do it.
I would, David, we can talk about this after this. I would do it with a writer that we currently have.
Okay.
I have somebody in mind.
Perfect.
that we can start.
Pause the recording.
I do want to get in before I thought that. Okay, but you can finish your summarization.
Number two, so it's going to be number one is going to be an individual. No, there's a need. Number two is probably going to be an individual. And three is like, it sounds like the paths forward are some combination of, we keep in mind potential people that are already kind of joined or joining as a writer, aka someone you have in mind or whatever. And then maybe we keep an idea open. If this continues to be a problem and that doesn't seem to, we don't seem to find someone internal that's like, yeah, I would love to edit and coach writers, which, by the way, side note, I think the majority of people on our team and writers and all are like, no, that is the last thing I want to do. I myself am a writer, but a lot of our writers on our team, for very understandable reasons, are like, that sounds like torture to just have my job be editing other people's writing. They get frustrated at other people's writing.
It's different skill sets. That's why I said like having a separate job role where someone is passionate about this, I think is important, because being a writer for your own accounts and writing your own content is very different than giving feedback on other people's writing.
And that's one thing I was going to say while you were summarizing. One thing we have to iron out is like, who has final say? That is like the most important thing. Because like editor, any media thing, and when we talk about editor, like editors almost always have final like say. Like, you know, they're the editor. Like, you're just not getting past, this is not going live without going past my desk. This is not happening. They push it back to the writer, and the writer's like, oh, fuck my editor. And they got to figure it out. But we don't have that. Now we're at a content strategist editor level. It's two people who are kind of like more dynamic. It switches a little bit. And so the content strategist is like, I'm on the monthly call with the client. I'm reporting analytics. I'm in trouble if it doesn't convert. This is the right way. And the strategist is like, fine. Or the editor is like, fine, but it doesn't make any sense. I think you're missing this value prop. It can get messy. And it's good to talk about it.
I can answer that. I think the editor has the final say for whoever they're editing. If the strategist has no problem, we don't have a problem with the strategist writing on that account, and they are editing, the editor is editing a new writer, then it's kind of the linear, the relationship is the new writer's piece has to filter through the editor's desk, and then it goes to the strategist. When it goes to the strategist, the editor's not editing the strategist. The strategist has ultimate say in that scenario. Or if it's one of the scenarios that I mentioned caused me to have kind of the problems that's led to this, where an editor is struggling writing for a particular account, or a strategist is struggling writing for an account, and we have an editor assigned to help them, then the editor would have the final say in that case. And you correctly call out that maybe that's awkward. You're like, I'm the strategist. But it's like, well, like, there's some issues here. The editor, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe in that scenario, it's more like a peer thing and like the strategist can still have final say. I don't know. You're right that when it comes to me having to, when there's a strategist that needs help being edited, it can be very awkward if it's not me doing it, because then it's like, well, who has the final say there?
Well, yeah, because you have to, because it's like, who is at this point actually, who is the account manager? Who's
the one responsible? Yeah, but if the editor has the knowledge of the account, which I think is the difference, I think you previously in this role weren't on the client calls and didn't listen to all the interviews. So if someone was involved in the account from the very beginning, I don't see that power dynamic like being an issue, because they should both have the same kind of knowledge level of the client.
I think it's possible. I mean, I do, but these are, because we're talking about we're talking about a small but important part of the business, right? Like, it's not like every account, it's not every strategist, it's not every writer.
It's one-off situations.
We onboard writers without bringing you in, you know, often. So it's not that. It's when we need a little bit extra help.
I think to answer your question, who has the final say, the sort of ex team member that you mentioned, who's quote unquote no longer with us. I think she had the final say in a lot of those situations.
And obviously, like, I'm giving this extreme, like, black and white, because if, you know, we're adults, and a lot of times if you talk about a piece with somebody and what's best for the piece, then you get out of the us versus you versus me mindset, and more into like what makes the piece more compelling, and it does that. Obviously, like, we're not all fighting, like, that's how it usually works, is like, okay, well, I think this is better for the piece because of this, like, what do you think? Well, I hear what you're saying, but okay, good point. Like, it's not always going to be so like dramatic thing. It's sometimes those things flare up, and it's good to know. I don't know. I think that can be a potential landmine.
If you like this video, don't forget to subscribe. You can also get the audio-only versions of these shows wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow us at growandconvert.com/newsletter for any articles and updates for when these videos come out.